Thank you. We have been going through Matthew's Christmas story, and today we come to the conclusion of that. Matthew, the second chapter, beginning in the 19th verse. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. Now, when Herod was dead, hallelujah, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we pray that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would draw us to Jesus of Nazareth, and that we might represent you day by day, that we might lift up Jesus in all that we do. And Father, we pray in this new year that Jesus of Nazareth will be exalted. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this young family, we've been talking about this young family. Started out with just two. There was Joseph and there was Mary. They're there in Nazareth, and they're getting to know one another. And God tells them that not only are they going to have a child, but there's going to be a time when they have to move. They were moved from Nazareth to a little town called Bethlehem. Now that was a tough journey for a young man and his bride to be, and she is expecting, and they've got to travel this distance, and they do so. They find no room there for them, end up in a manger, and the child is born. Well, as the child is born, after that, they go to Jerusalem and present the child. And then from Jerusalem, they come back to Bethlehem. And then from Bethlehem, they are told they've got to get out of Dodge, they've got to get out of Bethlehem, and they've got to go to Egypt. Now, Egypt was a long journey. So they trek all the way to Egypt. We don't know how long they were in Egypt. But now Herod is dead, the threat is lifted, and they are told to go back to Israel, and they are led back to Nazareth. These journeys actually fulfill prophecies. They are telling us that Jesus is not just a baby. Jesus is not just another person. Jesus is the Messiah that God foretold. In Micah 5, Hosea 11, Jeremiah 31, these passages fulfill prophecy. Prophecy that the Messiah would come, and prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, the Messiah was given a whole lot of titles. He's called the Son of Man. He's called the Son of God. He is called the Man of Sorrows. In Matthew 1, you'll read that his name shall be called Emmanuel. You know, that's the only time that name is used in the entire New Testament. The name interpreted means God with us, and certainly he was designated as God. Peter and John both proclaim him to be God. And now the title Nazarene. That's used a lot. He called himself a Nazarene. He is often called Jesus of Nazareth. In the book of Acts, you find Paul was said to be of the sect of the Nazarenes. You know, today there's a denomination called the Nazarenes. In verse 23, the scripture says that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, Nazareth points to a town. It is a real place. In Jesus' day, there was probably about 5,000 people there, and that was a good little settlement for that time. Today, there's about 80,000 people there. Those of us that were able to go to Israel, we had the opportunity of being in Nazareth, and we were there for a period of time, and actually, we got to stop at a very special place in Nazareth, McDonald's. And we really did, and we continued on our journey. But Nazareth is a good sized city today, but in Jesus's day, about 5,000, 50 miles north of Jerusalem, south of the Sea of Galilee, there is Nazareth. You know, a lot of people are proud of their town. In fact, can I tell you, a lot of people seem to be embarrassed to say that they are from Columbus. What a great place to be from. What a great place to live. We are blessed to live in Columbus, Georgia. Now, when you doubt that, if you go to a few other places, you might learn that this is a good place. And I am thankful for this place. Well, Nazareth was not thought to be a good place. It was a place of contempt. It was a place that people looked down upon. Simon Peter met Jesus, and then he was talking to Nathanael, and he was going to tell Nathanael about Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael's response was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, in Nathanael's comment, we see that people generally looked down on the place and looked down on people that were from there. They spoke with a particular kind of draw. You know, you may travel in the other parts of the country if you are actually from this part of the country, and people will say, you talk a little different. Well, in Nazareth, they talked a little different. It was a place where they did not get to go to the temple of Jerusalem much. It was a place where they had a very simple worship. It was a town full of vices. It had a lot of difficulties. You see, near Nazareth, there was a main trade route. And so people from all over the world at that time would pass right by there. There was a military base right close to that spot. And we in Columbus know that military bases can draw certain kind of vices, certain kind of immoral type activity sometimes attaches itself to military bases. Well, that was true in that day. And so it was in Nazareth that there were drugs and slavery and prostitution. In Nazareth, in that tiny spot. The immorality that was there was part of what was in the world. And God chose that place for Jesus to grow up. God moves in mysterious ways. You're not going to be able to always figure Him out and know exactly why He does what He does. Some of you are fretting over why something happened the way it did in your life. Let me tell you, put the whys aside. If it happened, it happened. Move on. Live each day as a day that God has given you. This is the day that God has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. I've heard that somewhere. And it should be true of how we live our lives. Well, God decided this was a good place for Jesus. We would have had Him in a big city. We would have had Him surrounded by the fineries, by luxury. We would have had Him well cared for, in fact, the best care that could possibly be. But God put Jesus in a poor, outcast city, Jesus would not be sequestered from the evils of his day. He was surrounded by a world of sin. He would experience life among people that were living the way people lived in that day and the way people live in our day. Listen, you cannot isolate yourself from the world. You can seek to keep your children as innocent as possible, as long as possible, and I'm all for you doing that. But there comes a day when your child is going to have to deal with the world. And we need to equip them with God's word so they're ready for that day. The believer in the world needs to understand we're in a sinful place. And believers are to be in the world, but not of the world. And what that means is we're not supposed to just act like everybody else. Perhaps you told your parents at some time that you did something because everybody was doing it. They didn't buy that excuse. God doesn't buy that excuse either. We are in the world. We're not supposed to live like the world. We're to live as God would have us live in the world as a testimony of Jesus. We must put God's word in everything we do. It's important that when you get up in the morning that sometime you look to God's word. It's important that you get God's word into your head because you're going to need it for what you're going to face. In today's world, if you don't want to read it, you can have it read to you. It is very simple to do that, and we need God's word. Our Awana program gets children to memorize the Bible. It is good for everybody to memorize the Bible. And when you get a little older as I am, you can memorize the same verse over and over and over again. Put it in your heart. One day God will bring it up and bless you by it. Now here's Nazareth, and it's got a bad reputation. It's not a good place. But in Nazareth, there are some good people. Mary and Joseph lived in this small city, and they were seeking to do all they could the way God wanted them to do it. This sweet, loving Bible couple wanted to raise Jesus as God wanted him raised. Every child needs parents that want to raise their children the way God wants them raised. I'm surprised when I talk to people from time to time, I'll hear that, you know, they're going to wait and let their children grow up and their children will decide whether or not they want to go to church. They don't do that for anything else in life. They took them to a doctor. They didn't wait for the child to decide to go to a doctor. They take them to school. They don't wait till a child decides they want to go to school. Church is more important than anything else they will do when they get God's word in them, and that needs to be a decision that the parent makes, and the parent needs to lead the child to God's house. And so Jesus is properly related to his parents. The scripture says in Luke that Jesus was subject to them. If you haven't heard this verse, we are told in the scriptures to obey your parents in the Lord. We're living in a day when our society is trying to put a wall between parents and their own children. Listen, children need to obey their parents. If for no other reason, God said to do it. Some young people today get to the point where they think they know a lot more than their parents. Well, some parents may not be as educated as their children. But there is this point of being experienced in this world, of having some information that the child is not mature enough to know. And so let me say to our children, obey your parents. It will be a blessing to you. And I've told you many times, if you want to have the best life you can have, do what your parents want you to do, and they will knock themselves out trying to give you the very best. Jesus was the Holy Son of God. He was the creator of the universe. And yet Jesus chose to live under parents' authority. Well, that should tell us something. If God Himself was willing to be obedient to earthly parents, certainly we can do the same. Mark Twain said at 16, he thought his father was the most ignorant man in the world. And yet at 21, he was amazed at how wise his father had gotten in a few short years. Jesus grew in favor with God and with men. A family that lives for the Lord will raise their children to the Lord, and those children will be a blessing to the family, and they will be a blessing to the world around them. We need to do the same. After 28 years in this small town, Jesus would put aside the carpentry tools, and he would begin his public ministry. Nazareth did not claim him. The most important person to ever live was born in Nazareth, and Nazareth did not hold to him. They turned away from him. It's terrible to think that Jesus was denied by his own people, and yet he was. Jesus went back to Nazareth, to the synagogue. And there where he grew up, he was asked to read the scriptures, and he read from the scroll. And the way the scroll was, they would move the scroll from side to side, and then they would read from it. And where it was open to that day is where he read. It was in Isaiah 61. And in Isaiah 61, you have a prophecy foretelling of the Messiah coming. After he read the passage, Jesus said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Well, what was Jesus saying? He's saying, "Listen up, I'm the guy this is talking about." Jesus was proclaiming to be the Messiah sent by God. Why did he claim that? Because that's what was true. How did they react? They had a hissy fit. Sorry for the technical term. They got immediately angry. They took him from the synagogue. They took him up a mountain, up a cliff there, and they were ready to throw him off and to kill him. They were going to end Jesus' life. You see, we sometimes think that Herod attacking babies was the only time that Jesus was attacked other than the cross, but that's not true. He was attacked through his entire life. Now, I've stood on that very, very hillside where they were going to throw Jesus off. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, just calmly walked through the middle of them and went on his way. They were not able to touch him. They were not able to harm him. It was not yet his time. Shouldn't they have been excited about him? And yet they plotted to kill him. This world pushes Jesus away. They did it then. They do it now. They tell you not to talk about Jesus. They tell you not to pray in the name of Jesus. And they tell us at Christmas time to say Happy Holidays, not Merry Christmas, because they don't want things about Jesus to be known. Well, I got news for you. The news about Jesus is out. And we need to keep it out. And we need to continue to talk about him and to lift him up. Nazareth rejected Jesus, but Jesus didn't reject Nazareth. He called himself a Nazarene. Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth points to a truth. Verse 23, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, that phrase has put a question in a lot of people's minds. Because if you search through the Old Testament, you can't find that direct prophecy. Where does it say he shall be called a Nazarene? Well, if you read closely, the scripture doesn't say the prophet says that he shall be called a Nazarene. It says he's called a Nazarene by the prophets. It's a plural. This is a composite prophecy. That means a lot of prophets spoke of this, and it comes together as a composite to say he shall be called a Nazarene. Zechariah refers to the Messiah as a branch. Jeremiah refers to the Messiah as a branch. In Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Branch. Isaiah 53:1-3, who has believed our report? To whom is our Lord revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root, or as a branch out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid our faces from him, he was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not, as a root or a branch out of the dry ground. Now, you probably heard I'm talking about a branch, but we were talking about a Nazarene. Where do the two come together? Nazareth means branch. And so that pulls the two together. The very root word of Nazareth means branch. But this passage in Isaiah so spoke of Jesus. Jesus was doubted. Who shall believe our report? Jesus was discarded as a root or as a branch out of dry ground, something to be thrown away. Jesus was rejected. He was despised and rejected of men. There is no doubt that the prophecies of the Old Testament telling about the Messiah to come spoke of no one else but Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And here he is. Jesus the Nazarene was doubted, discarded, rejected on this earth. Oh, but he was approved in heaven. He was sent by God for a specific purpose. All through his life, Jesus was dealt with the prejudice of men, just as it was prophesied. People rejected him, and people reject him today. But you don't have to. Come to the truth to realize who Jesus is, not just a mere man, but the Messiah, God come to earth. Nazareth refers to a triumph. He shall be called a Nazarene. The world thought that was a put down, but God is going to use it as a lift up. As a Nazarene, he endured the prejudice, he endured the rejection, he endured even more. You know, the demons even knew Jesus. The Bible says that the demons recognized who Jesus was and they cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, what do we have to do with you? Well, this same Jesus of Nazareth would go to a cross. We go through the Christmas season and we're so enchanted with Jesus, the babe in the manger, and how precious that story is. But never forget, Jesus came to get a body that he might offer it as a sacrifice for you and for me. He endured the cross. He was always headed toward the cross. When he was given myrrh as a baby as a gift, what a strange gift for a child, an embalming thing. And yet it pointed to Jesus coming to give his life on a cross. He was tried. He was condemned to die. They took Jesus. They made him carry that cross through the streets until he could carry it no more. He ended up on Golgotha, and there they nailed him to the cross. And when they put him on the cross, they didn't just put him on the cross. They had a little plaque. And they put that plaque over his head. And that plaque said this, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus would suffer, bleed, and die under that sign. He hung there under that placard. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he would say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he would breathe his last. They took him down from under that plaque and they put him in a borrowed tomb. That's not all that went with him. You see, this Jesus who was despised and rejected took the weight of your sin and mine on that cross. And buried, he carried our sins far away. There for 3 days, he lingered. 3 days later, two disciples are leaving the area on the way to Emmaus. They're brokenhearted over what's taken place. Someone comes up and walks with them. They don't know who it is. It's Jesus. And they began to talk, and as they spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth and how they had hoped that Jesus had been the Messiah of promise. And Jesus asked them, well, what is this you're speaking about? And they said, are you new here? Everybody knows about this. You didn't know about this? We're speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible says they broke bread with him. And when they broke bread with him, they realized who he was. And immediately Jesus was gone from them. Jesus of Nazareth. The same Jesus of Nazareth that had died on the cross was there alive with those disciples. Alive from the dead. You can't get rid of Jesus of Nazareth. You just can't. You can despise him, you can ignore him, you can reject him, you can go through your life like he never lived. One day you will face him. Paul was determined to get rid of this sect of the Nazarene. He got special papers, and his desire was to put to death everyone that held up the name of Jesus, to end it once and for all. And there on the road to Damascus, there was a bright and shining light, brighter than the sun. And he fell to his knees and he cried out, wanting to know, who are you, Lord? And Jesus answered, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you have persecuted. Paul had an eye-opening experience. The one he set out to destroy, he came face to face with. And there on the road to Damascus, Paul had a life-altering experience, and he would never be the same. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Paul met Jesus of Nazareth that day and was changed forever. Have you met Jesus of Nazareth? We're here at the beginning of a new year. We have it all laid out before us. And one name needs to lead us through, and one name needs to be lifted up, and that is Jesus of Nazareth. We need to proclaim him. We need to tell others about him. We need to stop hiding him. You got up this morning, there was snow on the ground, you came to worship him anyway. I'm so thankful you're here. If you believe in him that much, shouldn't you believe enough to tell somebody? We are living in a lost world. The majority of Columbus, Georgia is lost. They do not know Jesus. Only 12% worship Jesus. Think of the thousands upon thousands around us that do not. Oh, they may tell you they are a part of a church. They may tell you they even attend sometimes. The question is, do they know Jesus? Has there ever been a time when you have invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to forgive your sins and to save your soul? If you have done that, then he has done what he said he would do. And you are no more hell-bound, you're heaven-bound by Jesus of Nazareth, who gave his all for you. Now, if you believe that, why won't you tell somebody? This is a year where we're setting out. We've got a good number in our head that we're going to tell at least 26 people, and I'm challenging you. Tell at least 26 people about Jesus. How hard can that be? Tell them who Jesus is. Tell them what he means to you. Explain to them how he died for our sin, was buried, that he rose again, and that he wants to be in their hearts and save their soul. God could use you to be an instrument to transform someone's eternity. You see, we should not only know Jesus of Nazareth, we should serve Jesus of Nazareth. And that is what we are called to do in our lives. If you've never met him, would you come to know him? You can walk down an aisle today. You can pray where you are and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. But if you receive him as your Savior and Lord, you've got to tell somebody. You don't have to be abrasive. You don't have to be destructive. You move in love out of concern. And the majority of people will receive it that way. And you give them the opportunity. What are you going to do with Jesus of Nazareth? Maybe as a believer you need to come to the altar and pray. Dedicate yourself to lift up Jesus this year, to tell people about Jesus this year, to ask God who he will send you to this year. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Father, that Jesus came, that he was willing to die for me, that my sins might be forgiven. And the same for everyone listening. But Father, there has to be a time when we receive or reject Jesus. And today is the day, and I pray for people to receive him. And Father, I pray for those of us that know you, that we would start standing up for Jesus, telling people about Jesus, changing the lives of those around us for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?